Well, if you've got a mortgage, you may be breathing a sigh of relief this afternoon after the Reserve Bank decided to leave interest rates on hold at 4.35%. It seems crazy, really, to be saying that because 6 months ago, economists were expecting the bank was done with raising rates, but now there are warnings more rate rises could be on the cards. Today, RBA Governor Michelle Bullock was certainly sounding a cautionary note.
We don't think we necessarily have to tighten again, but we can't rule it out. If we have to, we will. If we really think that inflation is going to be persistent and significantly above our forecast, we will tighten again. But the board made the judgment at the meeting that the right stance at the moment is to stay where we are, continue to observe what's going on in the economy, be data-driven, and we might have to raise, we might not.
Tim Hext is the head of government bond strategies at investment group Pendal's income and fixed interest team. Tim, what did you make of this decision to hold rates today? Was that broadly expected by economists?
Holding the rates was broadly expected, but there was a school of thought out there amongst some that they would reference perhaps the need for higher rates down the track. Whilst they have ruled nothing in or out, there was certainly nothing in today's statement to suggest they're about to raise rates again anytime soon. So that was the good news.
In its comments today, the board noted that the process of returning to its inflation target of 2 to 3% is, quote, unlikely to be smooth. I mean, does this language suggest the RBA is maybe preparing us for more pain?
I don't think so. I think what they're trying to say is they don't want to be sort of knee-jerk reacting to each and every sort of move up or down short-term in inflation. What they're really trying to do is get a sense on the medium to longer term what inflation's doing. And in their minds, they do think that inflation's going to be higher than they thought this year at the start of the year. But they do expect by early next year, it will be pretty much doing what they were expecting previously, which is to eventually move back within their band of 2-3%.
Yeah, the role of the unemployment figure is interesting. The RBA has said it's got a target of unemployment to hit 4.5% by the end of this year. It's currently at around 3.9%. So could that be a justification for another rate rise in your mind?
I would. I don't think they'd like the characterisation that they're targeting 4.5%. They're expecting it to be, well, in their new forecast, they're expecting to be around about 4.2 by the end of the year. I mean, the RBA aren't in the business of misery for the sake of misery. I think what they're trying to say is a slightly higher unemployment rate would take some pressure off wages, which would in turn take some pressure off inflation. So I don't think they want it to go there, and I wouldn't call it a target. But there's always this uncertainty around what is kind of full employment. And full employment really is where you start to get a lot of wage pressures. So the RBA, I think, by slightly adjusting their unemployment targets, I wouldn't read too much into that.
Yeah, I certainly take your point. If you just joined me on RN Drive, Tim Hext is here. He's the head of government bond strategies at investment group Pendal. We're talking about the possibility of further interest rate rises in the near future and what alternatives the government has to prevent them. I mean, we really talk quite a lot, Tim, about the fact that the RBA has its hands tied in some respects because interest rates are the only thing at its disposal to try and control inflation. It's really a big single lever, if you like. You've written recently that there are other things the government could be doing to try and tackle inflation. We know it's been trying to target electricity costs, for one. What else do you think the government could be doing to at least dovetail with the RBA's efforts?
Well, the government has already been doing quite a lot, both at the state and federal level. So a lot of state governments have subsidies for electricity in place. And in fact, last week, Queensland announced even higher subsidies. The government's already very active in areas like childcare. They've done some rent relief for poorer renters. So the government's already doing a lot, but we're already getting an expectation from the budget season. We're about to get the federal budget and the state budgets come out. In fact, Victoria's is out today. I think we're going to see a lot more help from the government to ease cost of living pressures, and that's highly appropriate because it in turn takes pressure off the RBA. As you alluded to, the RBA's only really got one instrument, which is the cash rate. And when they increase the cash rate, it has all sorts of implications, both in terms of fairness and in terms of, you know, what that does to the economy. The government can be far more targeted with their measures by doing things like subsidies. And, you know, if the pressures are short term, if the government can help relieve them, it stops this loop developing. And the way to think of the loop is that when you get high inflation, people quite rightly push for higher wages, which in turn increases business costs, which in turn increase prices, and therefore you get higher inflation. So to break that loop, if you can provide subsidies to reduce the near-term pressure on inflation, it helps reduce inflation down the track. And it's what the government is doing. We're going to be watching very closely what they announce next week. But, you know, the early leaks coming out from the budget are that they're going to be doing a fair bit in this regard. And that's to be encouraged. And it does take pressure off the RBA. Now, the RBA didn't reference this. They try to stay out of government fiscal policy. But I do think it would be in their minds as they sat down to consider interest rates.
I suppose an example of this kind of targeting is the Queensland government recently announced a $1,000 energy rebate, which it says will halve energy bills for people in that state. So that I suppose is an example of that short-term measure that wouldn't have that inflationary effect like direct stimulus. What about using rent to tackle inflation? Because that is included in the CPI figure. There was an increase in rent assistance in last year's budget. I wonder if there's an opportunity here for the government to kill two birds with one stone, as it were, to sort of help renters whilst also reducing inflation.
Well, really, look, that is definitely the case. But you've got to be careful when the government interferes in markets, which is quite appropriate sometimes. Other times, it's probably not. And really what the government should be thinking of is what is a temporary pressure and what is a structural pressure? And if something's structural, really the answers to it aren't things like subsidies near term. And I think rents come under this. And we all know the talk that there's just not enough homes being built, whether it be social housing or, in fact, private housing. There's just not enough supply coming on. And when it's a supply issue, really things like interest rates don't help, rising interest rates. But the government can do a lot more. And, you know, everyone's talking about it and there are some measures going through, but there's always this feeling perhaps it's not quite enough. So, rental assistance does help, and particularly for poorer people, and that's highly appropriate. But you've got to be a little bit careful not to just come in and provide more and more subsidies in the medium to longer term to fix a problem, which is actually a structural problem.
Another big component of inflation we've seen recently is insurance costs. Now, these have obviously been going up for a number of reasons and are expected to climb further due to climate change. Is there an opportunity here for using insurance costs to affect a inflation outcome?
Insurance, potentially. But again, you've got to be a little bit careful. And I think a lot of the insurance costs, as you're alluding to, are more structural in nature. I don't think we're suddenly going to see a decade of great weather and the like. It looks like things are going to get worse, not better. So, there could be a short role to play there. But really, in the bigger picture, if things are structural, the thing about pricing and having prices go up, it does produce a reaction from consumers, which economics encourages. So I guess what I'm trying to say there is, absolutely, targeted perhaps at less well-off people, there should be some relief because everyone needs their home to be insured. But really, you've got to be a bit careful not to rely on those things in the medium to longer term. I think insurance is far more difficult because it's kind of certainly near term outside of anyone's control, really. In terms of climate change.
Yeah, it's a very tricky path the government and the RBA must tread. Tim Hext is the head of government bond strategies at investment group Pendle's Income and Fixed Interest Division. Great to talk to you this afternoon, Tim.
Thanks very much, Andy.
Getting in touch with ABCRN is easy. Join the conversation live using the ABC Listen app's call and text features.